Welcome to Regardless. Regardless isn't just a word. It's a powerful mindset that helps you to overcome limiting beliefs, self-doubt, and stress. All very common hurdles on the journey from college graduation to thriving adulthood. As your host, Skylar Sorkin, my mission is to bring relevant guests to the table to answer some of our most burning questions about relationships, career, and life. Regardless is your go-to hub for tips and tools to keep you going, reminding you that you've got this, babe. If you're committed to navigating life's twists and turns with confidence and conviction, you found your home. Regardless is available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
You guys, I am so flipping excited to be here with all of you today. Dating in LA is freaking hard.
Yeah.
And I see you guys, I feel you, and we're gonna get into the nitty gritty tonight. So with that being said, welcome to Regardless in Real Time. Woo! On all things love in LA, dating, sex, and relationships. All so right. With that being said, my loves.
Yes.
Whoever, you know, most of you guys know me, but my name is Skylar Sorkin, and I am the founder and podcast host of Regardless.
And I'm Linda, Sky's mom, and I'm a and I'm a licensed therapist, and I'm also the co-host on Regardless Office Hours.
So what is Regardless? Really, Regardless for me is more than just a word. It's really a mindset that I use every day, you know, to help me through limiting beliefs, self-doubt, fear, all the things that we experience from college graduation to thriving adulthood. Like, what does that even mean? And my mission as a podcast host is to bring the most relevant guests to the table to answer our most burning questions about career, relationships, and life. And really, Regardless, you guys, is the go-to hub for tips and tools to keep you going, reminding you that you've got this regardless of what comes your way.
Ah. Oh, and my mission or purpose here is to bring my years of experience and expertise in order to support this amazing community, inspire growth. And I would like to say I have a two-point purpose. The other purpose is because of this girl.
I promised myself
I wouldn't cry.
Don't cry.
But really, this is so crazy. And I know there's people here that have known Skylar since she was 5 years old. So I think you guys will understand what I'm trying to say here is really my relationship with you, Skylar. Yeah. We're bringing to the table conversations and stories that we've had and that I've kind of been in the trenches with you in the front lines through the developmental stages.
Sorry, Roman. No.
And then the cool thing is here we are now where I get to collaborate with her. It's like, it's such an amazing, amazing experience. So lucky. And I feel so grateful.
Yeah. Super and exciting. I think just like extending on what my mom just said, you know, my mom has been by my side through all of my dating experiences, not only dating, life, career, everything. Same with my dad, who's phenomenal.
Yeah, I don't even know who he is.
But I say that to say we've really accumulated some deep discoveries through my dating experiences, the highs and the lows, and we're really excited to share those with you tonight, really offering a she said, multi-generational perspective on all things love.
Yes.
Cool.
And so this evening, as we get started, we want you to just buckle up, okay? Because we really are going to take you on a high-level journey through the landscape of love, and we're going to cover a lot of material. Mm-hmm. However, having said that, just find your takeaways. If we can just incite curiosity for you or just find things that might resonate with you, get a few tools through the night, that's great, okay? Yep. So, girl,
let's get this party started.
Yeah, let's go. Okay, I'm going to start by really kind of taking a pulse check out there. How many of you are single?
Love it.
Okay. Ooh, how many of you are in a relationship?
Love it.
How many of you have no clue?
No one? Come on. Ooh,
like, no, yes, that's what I mean. Yeah, situationship. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think we can all agree that dating in LA kind of sucks. It even really sucks to make new friends. It's hard to make new connections. It's really a unique space that we're navigating through here. And I think that regardless of where we are on the map, whether it is in LA or New York like Carrie or Europe, we all want love, we all want to be chosen, and we really do all want a connection. And I think this is something that we're always searching for. So my mom and I think that really there's two dynamics at play here. And we're going to start with the external landscape. And these are the things that we cannot control. This is what's happening around us. And so as you can see here, we're kind of like breaking it down what we're seeing, and we're quickly going to run you guys through these.
Yeah,
But what we're seeing, A, is tech is taking away from the human touch. Like, we've never been so connected before on social, but in reality, it's very sad. We've never been so disconnected and disengaged before.
Yes, it's disheartening for sure. And speaking on technology, mm-hmm. I want to ask again, how many people are on dating apps? Okay, how many of you find them effective? Oh, my goodness. Okay, we've got our answer. Okay, I wasn't sure how that was going to land. But, we get it, because I really think that the dating apps have shifted tremendously. I think they originally started out as pretty kind of nice. Like, it was a platform to bring connections together so people can spark love and even maybe find marriage. But we're starting to see literally that there's a curve where they're mirroring other social media platforms. Mm-hmm. And it's causing a host of issues now. For instance, there's superficiality going on, there's saturation, there's flakiness too that's happening. I think there's privacy and safety issues that are going on. I also think there's tends to be like an addictive nature to the dating apps, like the swipe. What, I don't even know. I've never been on a dating app. So. Okay. But and that's causing literally like a search for perfection. Mm-hmm. Okay, like they want to find the perfect mate. I don't know if they're trying to find that by the picture or by whatever the little bio is in that, but there's that, there's comparison, there's competition. These are all the things that you start to see on other social media platforms. So to me, we're dealing with your hearts. And I'm not cool with that. I'd love for you guys to all find a person and be chosen and feel love. Mm-hmm. So, and the one other thing too is the monetization.
Absolutely. You know, like, the founders do not care about us finding love. Newsflash. You know, the meaning of the dating apps is not really about connection anymore. It's really about monetization, and that's what we're seeing. And, you know, really a symptom of the dating apps, I think, is this idea of FOMO, where, you know, we go on a date with someone and we're competing against the 40 other people that they're swiping through on the dating apps. Yeah. It's like, it's really hard, and I think it does cause a lot of mental health issues, because
Absolutely.
Social media in itself is already destructive. I mean, I compare myself to a lot of people, and I'm working on it, but the dating apps is a completely different world. Yeah, and I think another aspect, Mom, if you want to talk about like the presence that
just
we're seeing.
Yeah, the lack of presence. So, hello, is anyone home? And basically, what I kind of can see this too, like we're always on our phones, so really people are not mindfully attuned to the person that's sitting in front of you or the person you're with. And even being married for almost 30 years, Stephen, I keep like, I'm sorry, I love you. But the reality is like, even for like a married couple, it's like being aware and mindful of how much we are in front of the screen versus taking the time to just be and connect. I think that is something that's really missing. In fact, next time you're out, do a little experiment. Go to the bar, go to the restaurant, see if you can find couples. Do you notice either one or both of them are on their phone when they're sitting across? And it's like, I've seen it, where the guy's on the phone and the girl's just, I saw that today, actually. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and another point, and we'll leave it at this, but people are just not approachable. Like, I have a really good friend. Mm. She moved to Nashville, and she's like, I just cannot make friends here. It's tough. And like literally, it was like 3 weekends ago, I went out to Beach Bells, and like I'm a very outgoing person, like I don't mind going up to people. And I asked this random guy, like, oh my gosh, you look so familiar. Like, I feel like my younger brother like went to school with you. You guys, I felt like either A, I was an alien, B, I spoke a foreign language, or like C, I was so ugly that I was like offending his bubble. Like I was with Katya and Amanda and I'm like, what in the world? Anyways, okay, we know what's going on.
Yeah.
And I think the second dynamic that we're seeing.
Yeah, like take us inside because this is like the second part of it. We don't have any control or very limited control with what's going on externally, but we've got that control of what's going on in here. Yeah. So start us off.
And this is a question that I've always asked myself when dating is like, what is my personal brand? And I think that's something really important for us to always think about. And, you know, we hear this all the time in business. Like, you know, we talk about brands and associations to brands and how they make us feel. And we have that same power when we're putting ourselves out there. And one of my favorite things that my mom has shared with me growing up has been like, Sky, like, you know, it's your responsibility to create the impact in the room. Like, you are responsible over the energy that you bring into any room. And I've always reminded myself of this. Like, I can take accountability over the energy and my impact. And really, the way that we do this is like thinking about, okay, what are the messages that I'm sending? What am I posting on social? What am I posting on the dating apps? What am I talking about? And I think this is really good to be cognizant about because, like, if you are wanting to call in, you know, a long-term partner, like, we can't really be posting like really slutty pictures, you know? Like, you have to, what you want kind of has to match what you're sharing out to the world. And I think there's a lot of power in that. Yeah. And I think it helps also in business, not just dating.
Yeah. Okay. No, I hear you. So really now we know like there's the identity or brand or you're responsible for the energy you bring into the room, but where is that? Like, what are we talking about? And so what I like to say here is that honestly, you have to identify your internal GPS. Okay. Pay attention, take some time to just reflect and go, okay, if I have this GPS, this is my navigation system that's keeping me connected to the outside world. Okay. So those, like, these are the three vital components of your inner compass. Values. Number one. So spend time really figuring out what are your personal values. Those are the beliefs and principles that really govern your decisions, your choices, your behaviors. It's so key. It's what brings meaning and purpose. Like, what do I really love? Okay, some examples can be, especially as it relates to relationships, maybe you value financial security. Okay, know that. Maybe you value family, connections. You might value self-development, growth. What about freedom, travel, flexibility and all that? That's a big value. Mm-hmm. Even religion. So know these things because that's going to be part of your compass when you're going through life and talking to other people. The second one are your needs. Those are your necessary requirements and desires for a healthy and satisfying relationship. And your needs, really, there's a components of them. There's a spectrum of them, and it's emotional needs. We have physical needs. We have psychological needs and practical and also social needs. So for relationships, the first two, emotional needs, literally that's like you need to feel trust, mm-hmm. support. You need to feel like the person is like empathetic to you. Okay, these things are so protected, okay? Safe, that's what your emotional needs. And of course, people might have different emotional needs. I'm just going high level. The second one are your physical needs. It's pretty self-explanatory. But that's like physical touch, affection, intimacy, and sex. And I'm telling you right now, everyone, there's a difference between intimacy and sex. Huge difference. I won't get into now, but you can ask a question about that later. Okay. All right. And just the final one, I'll review that really quick. That's your intention. That is your why, your purpose, your reason for why you do what you do. Mm-hmm. So when it relates to dating, it's like know upfront what you're wanting, what you're looking for, what your intention is. So if your intention is, I want it to be casual, fine. If fine. You may have gotten out of a breakup or whatever. Maybe you may not be in the headspace to date and you wanted it to be casual. Communicate that, mm-hmm. right? Or it might be, I really want a committed relationship and I'm working towards that. Know that. So yeah. That's something that I think is so important.
Yeah, and I think it's cool. Like once we understand that we can take accountability and responsibility for what's happening internally, then we don't fall prey to the victimization of the dating world, because I really do hear that a lot.
Yeah, that's really big. And I think this is where we got to really get honest with ourselves. Okay, so these, now we're going into the roadblocks that inhibit finding and keeping love.
It's a big one.
Yeah. So Carrie here, we know Carrie. She says, I do not pick the wrong guys. They pick me.
Who's been here?
So this is basically what I think Carrie has, is I think she kind of has a problem with her internal dating dialogue. Mm-hmm. So Sky,
let's
start us off. Start us off.
Okay, so I'm not sure like if you guys have either said this to yourself or have heard friends saying this, but we'll start with number one, which is like, it never works out. This is like, I'm going to be single forever. All of my friends are always in relationships. I'm always single. People always ghost me. Men are shit. Women are high maintenance. Like, you guys, like, right, Steph? It's crazy.
Yeah.
She's like, yummy. And then the next one is fantasy land. And, like, literally, thanks, Disney and rom-com. Like, really irritating. This is like, once I find the right person, everything will fall into place. Or thinking that when you get into a relationship, everything will be perfect, which is, like, it's amazing, but it's hard work. And then the next one is, like, falling in love with the potential of someone. Mm-hmm. Like falling in love with the idea versus like what's actually happening, yeah. like in reality.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
I love that. And I think really with the storyline, oftentimes it can be incessant. And it's, you just hear the same story all the time. So really it's about catching that and doing your best to identify it and reframe the story. But this is the truth, you guys. Most of our problems and unhappiness is created by the incessant commentary that goes on between the ears. So we're going to look at the next set that inhibits us. This is the self-sabotaging behaviors. Now, this stuff that I'm getting into on this screen, this is like the meat of stuff, okay? So we don't have a lot of time to get into it, but the self-sabotaging behavior, here's one like that I often see is, the picker is broken. And there are a lot of broken pickers out
there. Lots of broken pickers.
Okay. And yeah. So an example with that would be,
a friend of mine, he thinks that like all hot women cheat, for example.
That could be a picker.
Is that a picker broken?
No. It can be because then that means because of the underlying issues, it means that literally he's going to stay away maybe from certain kind of girls, or he might form those assumptions and opinions about them and doesn't give people the time
Absolutely.
Of day, right?
Or just going after the same type of person and expecting a
different
result.
That's like a huge one.
Yeah.
And that's like the definition of insanity, basically. Okay, why don't you talk about confusing the universe?
Absolutely. So this is something that like I remember my mom like shared with me when I was wanting a relationship, but then I would find myself being like, oh, just kidding. Like, I don't want a relationship.
I'm too busy.
Like,
or
I'm too
I don't
busy,
know.
Or not... I don't need it. Like, I don't need a man. And, like, it's okay if you want a relationship. Like, that's beautiful. Like, step into that and be bold about it. And one of my good friends from New York, if it makes you guys feel any better, like, New York, I think the dating there is actually a lot worse than LA. But she's been wanting to call in a relationship. And she's been going on so many dates, like, wanting to intentionally date. And she's been having a hard time with, like, guys not paying. And she always offers. But, like, sometimes they'll be like, yeah, let's split. And, like, that's okay. I think it depends on, like, what you're wanting. Mm. But I totally see her, and it's absolutely valid. And she finally goes on a date with this guy who, of course, pays. She literally was like, I'm so grossed out that he kept on thanking me that I offered to pay. And I'm like, babe, like, you're confusing the universe. Like, if you want something, like, make sure you're stepping into that. And, like, being bold about wanting that and making sure, like, your actions are, like, matching, like, what you're wanting to call in.
Yeah, and I kind of wonder, like, what's wrong with a kind partner?
Yeah.
Like, Like, I don't understand, you know, so that, like, love, but that's, like, that would be an also another example of a picker broken. She's got the ick picker, right? And it's, like, you just get, I guess, grossed out. I don't know. You get the ick. What? It's crazy. But anyways, that sabotages, and it also, like Sky said, confuses the universe. Mm-hmm. So we can move on. The other ones are pretty self-explanatory. Love with the potential. Substance abuse obviously interferes, and promiscuity. Okay, the unresolved internal conflicts. This is the big kahuna. Okay, this is like where therapy.
It's like the meat.
Yeah, this is the stuff. This is where I live my life in. But in this unresolved conflict area, the kind of interesting thing is you'll see when you don't resolve some of these internal issues. That's when a lot of times it's because the self-sabotaging and the internal dialogue is coming from all this usually unconscious stuff until you can start to get the self-awareness and introspection and change the direction. So limiting beliefs, really those stem from fear, typically, fear, insecurity, or past issues. So couple ones, like the trust issue would be an example of somebody who has like a limiting belief that might be interfering with them. And the reason being is like, let's say they got cheated on, just like Sky said, right? And they're really hurt. And so they might approach people or relationships with that hesitancy and really maybe even not give people a chance. Because they're already sizing them up. Oh, that person's going to hurt me. Mm-hmm. So I think trust is a big one. Another one is vulnerability. And I do see this a lot in my sweet men. And basically, that's like when you have the belief or you were taught or you receive the messages that having emotions is not okay. It's a sign of weakness. So I do, even when working with men, like that's one of my favorite things is to get them really attached to their emotions or in touch with their emotions and their feelings.
I love it. And I think like really looking at your roadblocks or like what's getting in your way is so essential. And for me, like, I just want to take a moment to be real with you all. Like, I am so grateful for the opportunity to be single most of my life. Like, really. Because I was able to do the self-work to, like, get myself right and, like, realize, like, actually what I thought I wanted, I didn't want. And I think it really allowed me to look at all the challenges and sit them. I mean, regardless of rejection, regardless of judgment, regardless of heartbreak, exhaustion from heartbreak, dating burnout, all the things, those were, like, moments for me to be like, all right, how can I sit with this? So freaking hard to do that, but how can I sit with this, lean on my support system, work through these emotions? Because at the end of the day, like, that is how you evolve and that is how you grow. And I think that's really how you step into like you to really call in a partner that like is deserving of you and vice versa.
Right. So you had the singlehood, right?
Oh yeah.
That I know.
For like most of my life. Yes.
Which is fine.
No, it's beautiful.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I was like the exact opposite of Skylar. So I met my beautiful husband in college, junior year, and that was coming out of a 4-year relationship. So I didn't take very much time, and I no regrets. I never looked back. And I honestly, in my relationship, I grew within my relationship. I grew so much, right? But I kind of wonder sometimes when I have these dialogues with Sky, I'm like, would I have learned to face my fears? Would I have like broken out of my shell and found more strength and courage and maybe even experienced a little more independence in my 20s? I don't know. Regardless, I really did learn that transformational growth. It's ongoing. I'm still doing it. You know, it goes and goes until we no longer go. So I think, like, if you can really begin to step into this and take a look, especially for my beautiful single people out there, what would it be like if you took that time to just really, like, embrace the uncertainty and kind of lean into that discomfort and allow it to like help you in some ways. You know, I think in some ways it's like, okay, then if I do that, what could be the end result? It might be that partner that you would potentially find, but the first partner, I want to say I want it to be you. It's making that commitment of working internally and loving yourself. So despite what happens, you know.
Yeah. So what's at stake?
Yeah, that's at stake. Yeah.
And I love this meme. It's like when you finally find the person who's going to give you everything you want in life. Me. I know this is like not what you guys are like dying to hear, but it's so true. Like you are the only thing that is guaranteed for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So what's at stake is a big thing. It's our self-confidence and self-worth. And so when we talk about this, because I hear it in my head, it's like we're not talking about this Pollyanna approach to self-love. We're talking about really digging in, right? And so getting our self-confidence right first means getting yourself right first, taking radical responsibility for your joy, your peace of mind, your well-being. Like that's huge. Mm-hmm. We need to get that right. And the next piece, like when you take radical responsibility, take the accountability for your own confidence. It's your job versus expecting the person to do it all for you.
Yeah.
You know, and the important thing too, Skye, don't you think that's like it fluctuates?
Oh my God.
Like it's
absolutely
not a static thing. Like we don't feel all great. I mean, we have to check in with that daily.
We have like fat days, we have bad, like all the days we all have.
Yeah.
And that's totally normal. And I think that's something that women and men both experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I just want to take a second, if anyone's like willing to be vulnerable with us, is someone like open to sharing like a time where you felt like your confidence was totally just taken a hit, shot, and like you did not know how to get back up or like what direction to go? And I know this is like kind of scary, but like it can be kind of vague. Melissa and Spencer will do.
Oh,
love it. Melissa.
I'd say divorce.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, when like you meet your person and you have kids, and then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, who am I? And it's huge. Right. And it's huge, yeah.
Right. Oh my gosh. Wow. Like that's massive, right? Because then, like, even are you discovering with this time now on your own? Like, you're just, I mean, it's like it knocks you on your socks, right?
Spence?
I was single. I was someone who just, like, had no problem going up to a guy at a bar and, like, putting myself out there, which meant sometimes I was successful, but way more often than not.
Yeah.
I was rejected a lot.
I love that.
I mean, the guys that, like, were in relationships I didn't know or just literally weren't interested at all, I always put myself out there. And, like, that's what I meant, like, for a boyfriend. Actually, if I did that, which, like, it works, try it. But you have to be, like, willing to really be rejected in person through your face a lot. And there were a lot of times during that, like, putting myself out there where I was like, oh, my God, I never want to do that ever again because I literally feel so, like, disheveled, not confident, bad, rejected, but...
Babe,
thank you.
Somehow you knew, like, perfect transition. We didn't even need a transition because she's freaking amazing, spot on.
Yeah.
And both of you, thank you for being so vulnerable and sharing. Like, we appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I think, like, for me, because, like, you know, tit for tat, yeah, dude, it was, like, it was hard, like, being in situationship after situationship. And for me personally, there was a point in time where I was in a situationship, like in the deeps of the gray area for like 6 months. That was really dumb. And I remember this guy was like, come to Miami with me. And I'm like, oh my God, Linnea, let's go. Like not thinking.
I knew that was the stupidest idea.
Dumb. And I go and I end up like going to dinner and I'm like with him and his friends. And all of a sudden, like, I'm just feeling the situationship, whatever it was, fizzle out, like, right in front of my eyes. Like, I felt like I was a ghost there. And I ended up literally going into the bathroom and, like, sobbing my eyes out. And I had to stay with him for another, like, 4 days. Anyways, throughout these 4 days, just, like, I could feel just, like, my self-esteem and worth, like, start to crumble. And I remember coming back, and I was like, I really need to get myself first. And through that, I ended up realizing that, like, okay, look, I'm going to bring up this conversation to him. I'm not asking him to call me his girlfriend. I'm, like, going to speak my truth and be like, you either, like, choose me and decide to grow alongside of me, or we call it quits.
Yeah.
And I think in that point, like, I really, like, owned my self-confidence and my self-worth.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. It was a really hard, and, yeah. Like, we're not, oh, my God. No.
And it praise. It was the best decision ever.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, it is easier said than done.
A lot easier.
I mean, and that wasn't like an overnight process, guy. It was...
No, no.
Probably hours of crying in the... Like, I remember weeks. Driving with
yeah,
Steven in the
yeah,
car.
Weeks.
Right, yeah. So, all right, why should we care, Sky?
I mean, yeah, let's break it down for you guys. I think, like, confidence is a huge thing. This is the number one question that I get asked on my platform is, like, how did you become so confident? And like Spencer just shared with us, like, it's not something that anyone is born with. It's absolutely a muscle. So we're going to break it down what my mom and I have created.
Right, and exactly. This is where we know, like, the inside work takes a while. But I wanted to provide you, Sky and I both kind of, we talk about this a lot, and that just keep it simple. Like, if you memorize this, like, courage plus competency equals confidence. So courage, obviously, like, that's about stepping into the unknown, being bold, facing your fear, and doing it anyways. Yeah. And I know you hear that, it's so trite, but it's true. It's like, you use that as that, like, sandpaper to your soul if mm-hmm. you want to grow. And then the competency piece, that's the skills that we actually acquire. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure you were born, Spencer, completely, like, confident in yourself. But I also think you had to develop some of that skill set by going through a lot of stuff, right? So it is stepping in the fear. And also, like, a PSA, the fearlessness. There's no such thing.
No.
There's no freaking such thing. There's fear. It's just learning to see what is my relationship to fear. Mm. Holy cow. I can tell you a lot about that. Yeah. And it equals confidence.
Absolutely. And I think a lot, like, we're hearing this in social all the time, is like, do it for the plot, do it for the story. And, like, that's cute and cheeky. Like, love that. But no, guys, like, do it for you. Like, do it for growth. Do it for your flipping future self. Like, that's hot. That's powerful. Like, let's flip the script. Like, doing it for the plot is, like, to get confirmation from others that, like, you're good.
Yeah.
But doing it for you is, like, I'm fucking awesome. Like,
yeah.
I don't need that.
Yeah. No, I think that's huge. You know, Skylar.
Yes.
I think we've learned about the external landscape, internal landscape. We've learned about the roadblocks that inhibit finding and seeking love or keeping love. And we learn, like, okay, our self-esteem gets hit, our confidence gets hit. This is a little formula to keep in mind. I think we're feeling pretty good. Let's go out on a date.
Oh, my God. Are we ready to go on a date?
Can you take us?
Are we feeling cute and cheeky?
Okay, yeah, let's go.
Okay, so this is really helpful because I hear this a lot from my friends. It's like, how do I even know how that date went? Where am I in this situationship? Where are we in the gray area? All the things, like, as you can see from this meme, is, like, describe a relationship in two words. And she's like, are what? Like, I feel like we've all been there at some point. So this is what my mom and I have created to help you understand, like, A, where you are, and B, where you're headed. So should we do it, Mama?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what I like to call the regardless three E's. And just PSA, you can use this if you're single. You can use this in a relationship. And I'm sure we'll get to it in a little bit more, but that's just a PSA. So expectations, what are we expecting from the date? And I think it's really healthy to understand, like, what are my expectations? So we'll start off with, like, the wish list. And this is, like, our cherry on tops. Like, this is the very, like, fun, superficial things. So, like, looks, height, bank account, career, you guys get it. The second one is, like, the non-negotiables. Like, these are your bare minimums. Like, talk about religion. These are politics. Family-oriented. Do they want children one day? Yep. This is, like, more connected to the values.
Yes, very much so.
To the second one.
Yeah, energy.
Amazing.
You're going for it, girl. We're on a date. You're on the opposite side of the table. So when you're on a date, you really want to pay attention, and I kind of mentioned this before, about the energy, right? I talked about the presence. So here, if you're on the opposite side of the table, are they engaging with you? Are they actually asking you questions? Do they seem like even interested in getting to know you a bit more? I hear a lot girls going, and this isn't to poop on boys, but that, like, he doesn't ask me anything about myself.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he knows anything about me.
Or, like, not asking intentional questions.
Yes, that's huge.
Like, and also, can I add one thing?
Yes.
It's like, are they acting like they're actually interested in getting to know you? Like, I feel like we know that. Like, internally, like, do I feel like they're actually, like, wanting to get to know me, or is it, like, not?
Yeah.
I think you, yeah.
And it's important. Why don't you be on the other side? Now, you be you now on the other side of the
Okay.
Be on your side of the date.
So, our side of the table, and this is, like, I think it's important for us to be cognizant of, like, how am I showing up on this date? Because I think I hear this a lot from my girlfriends. It's, like, always about what they're doing. But, like, actually, our energy impacts it as well. And we do have to take radical responsibility over that. So it's, like, how am I engaged? How am I showing up? Like, what signs am I giving this person? And I think to women, like, I'm going to be real with you. Like, literally, Spencer, freaking love you. Like, we need more women like that who don't wait for the other guy necessarily. Like, throw them a bone. Like, help them out. Like, if you want to kiss him first. If you want to go on a date with him, ask him on a date. And I think, you know, it's really interesting. Not enough women are doing this. So if you are about to do this, you will stand out. And it's sexy.
Yeah. And I have to say, though, on the other side of that, that, you know, it takes that courage. There's a lot of us that are a little more reserved and a little kind of shyer and a little, you know, like, oh, okay. So, and that's okay. Maybe just hold the eye contact a little longer.
Yeah.
You know, like, let them know you're interested, because men have feelings. Men are human. Okay? They don't have to take the responsibility all the time. So give them the notion they're not superheroes, okay? So I really feel like that's important to understand. You know, it's kind of that tango thing, like you said, Skylar.
Absolutely. And then the last one, number three, is the exit plan. So knowing, okay, we're on this date, like, how do I want to leave this? What's next? And I hear this a lot from my girlfriends, and my good friend Sydney is always like, Skylar, I love when you tell me this. But it's literally, we make it so complicated, as I think especially as women, after the first date. I know that we do this. We go immediately to, like, future. We future trip out of the gate. We just met this guy and we're like, babies, marriage. And it's like, girl, slow down. We don't even know him yet. Like,
but he's perfect.
He's perfect. Like, all the things. And stop, like, let's be, should be cognizant of, like, making it less, like, difficult for ourselves. And the only two things that you have to know after a first date is A, did I have fun with this person? And B, would I want to see him again? That is it.
Yeah, don't complicate.
You're not getting married.
Not yet, at least.
And last but not least, for your exit plan, however you're leaving it, we encourage authenticity.
Oh my gosh, this is huge. Please be honest. Don't leave a girl wondering, okay?
Or
a guy, right? Anyone. It does happen. And you know what I'm referring to. I'm referring to ghosting. And ghosting happens in friendships. It happens in lots of things, right? But in an intimate or even dating scenario, it's not that. I mean, I know it's hard to be honest sometimes. It can be really difficult and awkward. But first of all, it's good for you because you're speaking up. But the other thing is, like, you're just being transparent and you're being a kind human being.
Absolutely.
I feel
100%.
I see the, like, ramifications in therapy with people that are left with wondering. They're heartbroken. They thought it was going to be a certain way and it wasn't. And so it's just not, I don't know. I just want people to be a little bit more.
I agree.
You know, has anybody been ghosted here?
My God, luck. Some people have it. I'm very jealous.
I love that.
It's amazing.
Okay, let me flip it. Has anyone done the ghosting? Yeah. That was that, Alyssa.
Yeah.
I get it.
And I think, like, with
thank you for the honesty.
I think, like, with the ghosting, I think it's really important to remind ourselves that, like, if we are ghosting and we do want to intentionally date and we are having a hard time dating in LA and we're always complaining about it, you're feeding the fire by ghosting.
Yeah.
I think if we all took, like, radical responsibility over, like, how we're showing up and being kind, we wouldn't be having these issues in LA or really anywhere. So just be cognizant of that.
Yeah. Okay. We're ready to get into something else.
Let's do it, Mama.
So we would be leaving you high and dry if we didn't get hot and heavy right now. And here, I love this. With Carrie, she says, the only thing I learned that night was that maybe I should have stayed home.
Who has been here? I hear some giggles.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah. Yeah. I feel like especially for my girls up in here. Yeah.
Yeah. So really the hot and heavy portion. Skylar and I are definitely sex positive here. No shame for, we want you to feel comfortable in your bodies and we want you to enjoy your bodies and all of that, right?
All the juiciness.
However, this is one of the biggest obstacles, okay?
Sorry, Dad. He's like having a hard time.
Sorry. It really is. It's one of the biggest obstacles because I think people minimize what it's about when you get naked too soon, okay? There are a lot of ramifications, mm-hmm. okay? A lot of problems that can happen. Look at Chris.
Yeah, Chris,
I love it.
He's up to something.
Yeah, there are. Let me tell you, my boys. Okay. First of all, I think gender-wise, right, there's a difference.
Absolutely.
And I get it. It's like, you know, it's not that deep, I think, a lot of times. It's like, oh, it was great, you know, it was fun. And it's fun for the girl too, but I think really what we're missing here is there's emotional confusion mm-hmm. that goes on. And what that means, Chris, is when you do. Okay. I know you are. But really that the confusion is there's a lot of emotions going on because there's all those complexities happening. Mm-hmm. And we really don't know the dynamic of the other person's history. But like the complexity of like you feel the emotional guilt, regret, self-doubt. Sometimes
when you sleep with someone.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's a ramification. Yeah. That's just what I want you guys to know what could be happening. And I think girls, you know, they might take it a little more serious. I wouldn't say all girls, but it affects us. So the other thing is the expectations. They're misaligned sometimes. It's like one guy's the guy or girl, it doesn't matter, was like, that was great. And the other one was thinking like, no, I was kind of hoping it, I thought it would mean something more. Mm-hmm. So I just needed to do that little PSA there.
Love it. And to set the scene, I'm going to share a really funny story. This kind of like highlights our relationship, but circa 2018, one of my homegirls is in here and another friend that I went to London with. But we find ourselves in the limo with, I'm going to leave his name unnamed for tonight, with a famous pop star. And we're in his limo with him driving back to his hotel room. God knows why I decided to WhatsApp my mother, texting her, being like, Mom, guess whose limo I'm in driving back with him to his hotel room with my girlfriends. I don't know why I did that.
Thank God you did.
I think I made a little too many drinks. But her response was, Sky, whatever you do, don't you fucking dare take your clothes off.
No.
Yeah. Sorry, Dad.
Thank God. Thank God they made it out safe. They did.
Oh, yeah, yeah, nothing.
I made them
we
like.
We just like used his toilet. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
That was for the plot.
Yeah, that is so cute. Okay, so really, oh, yes. Okay, this is good. So a reason why I was really like, don't you take your clothes off. One notion I always instilled in Sky, I think I started this notion like with American Girl dolls, like the books about how to know about boys.
Yeah, they used to have
the books. Or so really, honestly, I would say to Sky, well, this is the notion. Don't lie on your back with someone who doesn't have yours. Don't lie on your back for someone who doesn't have yours. I'm telling you, please. And the reason being, like what I did this for, Sky, is because I wanted you to consider whether the person had her best interest at heart before she made that decision. Like, does this person even, what? Like, I know who she is. I care about her. I know her heart. I know what you put into people. I know what you bring. Like, everything, you give 100% of yourself. I never pass judgment. I go, oh, okay, so what are you going to do? But why is it so painful?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all been here for a lot of the girls here where, like, when we sleep with someone too quickly, it feels horrible. Like, the worst emotional hangover ever. Like, there's a cloud of disappointment that just overtakes your body and you feel shameful and regretful and guilt. It's awful. And I think some of the reasons why is, like, A, we didn't know their intentions. B, we weren't ready, but we didn't anyways. Oops. C, maybe a fear of losing them. Maybe if we don't take things to the next level, then they'll that's not huge. Be interested anymore, which doesn't make any sense saying that out loud.
That's huge.
Maybe you're feeling a void inside. And the last one is, like, we don't really look at the full complexities of sex. Like, we don't look at the science behind it. And especially for women, and, like, this is good for guys to know as well, like, we take in your energy, your past trauma, all of it. What happened that day, all of it, and that's stored within our bodies. This is true. For 7 years. So, like, obviously, when we do sleep with someone too quickly, that's why we feel all of those emotions.
And that's why we have Sandy here this evening.
Yes.
She's going to clear that energy.
She'll clear that energy, baby.
Okay. Casual to commitment.
I got a text from a close girlfriend, and she was like, Sky, I am feeling just so sad about dating in LA. And she posed a question that was like, fuck. This is sad. And she was like, does anyone even want to get married anymore? And so we want to take, like, a poll here.
Yeah.
Like, can we get, like, a pulse check? Like,
just to know.
To know, like, what's going on? Like, do you guys want marriage? Like, what is, like,
or
why
commitment.
Are we dating? Like, what's
you
going
do?
On?
You do? Wow.
Okay, thank God.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so, like, and this is good.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny because this isn't really, like, it's not really about the marriage piece, but I think it's more about, like, I think it's about having that committed relationship, right?
Absolutely.
That you know someone's there. That's your person. They've got your back. They're there for you. Or is it just like, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
And for these beauties here, they're wanting someone.
I know.
To be there for them and vice versa.
Absolutely.
So, okay, Sky.
Yeah.
Let's get casual to commitment. What do we do?
Here are four requirements that you can look at to really understand, okay, like, are we on the right path to a long-term relationship? So number one is R-E-S-P-E-C-T. And this is someone who you admire, you respect, you're really curious about them, and you're really interested, and you do have the time and energy to invest in this relationship with them.
Yep.
Number two is synergy. And this is like a mutual attraction. You're both vibing. You're both sexually attracted to one another. You're both like really into it.
Yeah.
And the last one is let's turn it up a notch. And this is where we're talking about like exclusivity. And I think, you know, our energy doesn't lie. Like if we're feeling like, whoa, I feel like I need an answer on like what we are.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That means that it's probably the right timing to know that. Like you shouldn't have to second guess yourself. And I think if you are feeling this way, you should probably be in the know sooner than later because this will avoid, you know, problems down the line.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Sky, what do you think, just kind of the difference between situationship, which we see a lot of, and versus the slow burn?
This is really interesting. Yeah. And, you know, I think a hookup culture is feeding into obviously the situationship vibes that we can all get into.
Yeah.
But I think what's happening is that we're putting ourselves into these situationships where, you know, it's called a situation for a reason. Like it's a situation. We don't know what the hell it means.
Yeah.
And usually like this feels really, really exciting really soon. We have crazy butterflies and it's because like, I think we're questioning things all the time mm-hmm. and it's almost a feeling of like not feeling safe almost. But I think a slow burn is beautiful. Like this is what dating is about, to actually take the time to intentionally get to know one another, to enjoy that process, to maybe not feel like, oh my God, like I don't know what I'm going to say to him.
Also to let all three of these things happen.
Like, absolutely.
Do you respect the person? Do you, you know, are you both vibing on that energy? Are they taking interest in you? Then you move to this space, right? I mean, I think
absolutely.
It's so important.
And like if you're in a long-term relationship with someone, like slow burn is where it's at, because if you're going to spend your rest of your life with this person, like enjoy the process of getting to know one another.
Yeah.
And I think like another point that I'm just going to quickly make is this roster of three. And for all of my people who are dating right now, this was really essential for me. And I think especially as women, you know, I think when we really like a guy, we tend to put all of our eggs into his basket. I'm telling you not to, like, spread those eggs, like, around. Like, not in, like, a sexual way, but, like, not in a sexual way.
I know, I'm teasing.
But, like, put your energy into different baskets, because when you do that, you're getting to know other people, and through that process, you're getting to know yourself, you're getting to know what you actually want.
Yeah.
I think it's a beautiful, and, like, also that energy of you not, like, not needing really anything from it just besides enjoying the time with them. Like, people can pick up on that.
So,
and I think that's really sexy.
Yeah, and are you talking about, like, this isn't just random dating. This is, like, if you're dating, kind of, you've been seeing someone.
Yes, yeah.
Right? And you're trying to figure things out. And so
of
then,
course,
yeah.
when there's no
right, I'm not, right. When no. Yeah. I just meant, like, versus just, you kind of are interested. Like she said, oh, I have three people that you're getting to know learn from. Because you also start to kind of go, you learn more about yourself,
Absolutely.
Too, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the last one. This is the long game. So what's needed to take from those levels through the goalposts? There's so much that is involved in creating, maintaining, you know, healthy relationships. But I really find, and Sky and I talked a lot about this, that the biggest thing is communication. And you hear that a lot. And so make communication a priority. It's hard to do sometimes. A lot of awkward conversations, a lot of difficult things that come up. But also that moves you to, like, you're going to have conflict. Mm-hmm. I do hear people say, oh, we never fight. I don't know.
No.
I don't believe that. But anyway, so this is where you start to see when you're in a disagreement, like, is there accountability from both people, right? Are you looking at yourself? Are they looking at them? Are you able to, like, come together as a team and work through things? Mm-hmm. So adverse versus appreciative. I love this. This is more like, is someone adverse to those scary conversations? They're like, oh, I'll approach this later, and it never gets resolved. And then the versus appreciative, appreciate the hard moments. That's the grit. Appreciate those. Mm-hmm. You want to get into that sooner or later even.
Absolutely.
Right? But it also propels your relationship, which I think is incredibly important. And you commit to working through histories. That's like your family of origin stuff's going to come up long term. And you're both invested in each other's well-being. You care about the other person. You want the best for them and vice versa. The last one is what I covered a little bit. That's your GPS aligning. So your values and your needs, because you always want to have that internal compass. You want to know where you are. You want those to align. Yeah. And as we grow and we go through different developmental stages, our values will shift. They do a little. So ultimately, in a couple, it usually does kind of grow together. So that's that. Oh my goodness, we're done. Okay, we're done. I can't believe we're through.
We're not done yet.
No, but we're like in our conclusion. Yeah. We're in our conclusion time. All right, so in conclusion, dating's not broken. It's challenging, but it's not broken. And I think it's just, this is the time here, you guys, where we look at, like, is being single a death sentence? No, it's hard. There's a lot of loneliness at times. It gets pretty exhausting. But if you use this time to really dig deep, heal the parts that you need to heal or the patterns that keep surfacing, and maybe even do new experiences, mm-hmm. make new friends, travel, maybe take a course, maybe start to pay attention to how your career, do I want to make some shifts, maybe move to a new city. I don't know, but that's like...
It's
freeing in some ways. It can be. And I think I love what Sky said. We want to flip the narrative. So I just think, like, if we give ourselves that opportunity to just really lean into when this kind of dry time is here, and also being able to take rigorous honesty and being able to take accountability and responsibility for how we're showing up with others, you just might change the dating narrative.
Absolutely.
You know, also, if everyone's doing that, can you imagine? That'd be awesome. Maybe we'd actually kind of change that path.
Yeah. I love this. And you guys, like, I see you and I feel all of you. It's really hard. And I've absolutely been there. And I just want to say that I am so grateful again for my single time, because I just really realized, like, what I thought I wanted, I freaking did not. And I really got to know what I really wanted. And, like, I had the time to, like, work on myself and, like, live and, like, own it. And one of my favorite things that a dear, dear friend of mine shared with me, Sage Miller, who's an amazing life coach, by the way. This is, like, in the midst of my single time. And she's like, Sky, I see you. I know how freaking lonely this can be. She goes, can you imagine if you meet your partner 1 year, 2 year, 3 years down the line, he would be meeting you at your future self. He would be meeting you at that version of yourself. And that, like, changed the game for me. So regardless, you guys, regardless of the journey ahead, you freaking got this.
We see you and we're in it with you.
Woo!
Yes. I like what you got.
So I want you guys to think of really, like, the landscape of your love life right now and maybe, like, a difficult situation. And I want you to think of a word, like an affirmation that, like, if you're in this difficult situation, you can repeat this affirmation to yourself to remind you that you've got this.
Yeah.
And I think, like, a couple of examples, Mom.
Yeah, just like, regardless of being single, I'm enough, right? Yeah. Regardless of uncertainty, I'll find my path. I'll find my way. So I think these are something that'll be good for you. It's a mindset shift. You can keep it with you.
And quickly, if you guys have any questions, I, like, literally mean this, email my mama and I or DM me on @SkylarSorkin on Instagram, @regardlessthepod. I love you guys.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Regardless. If today's conversation sparked a mindset shift or inspired you, we want to hear from you. For more Regardless, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Join the conversation on Instagram and TikTok @RegardlessThePod for updates and resources. You can also find me personally @SkylarSorkin on Instagram and TikTok. New guest episodes drop on the first and middle Monday of every month. Plus, mark your calendars for our monthly office hours with my mom, a therapist, and I, where we answer all of your burning questions on the last Monday of every month. Remember, babe, regardless of what you're going through right now, you've got this, and I'm in it with you. Stay electric.